So without breaking the state of presence, just let's take a few more deep breaths, breathing into the lower belly and then into your midsection, and then you fill the lungs. So it's like a wave, the breath is like a wave, and the breath is life, and it does connect us to everything. Such a deep, deep breathing. And on the exhale, just relaxing and letting everything go. Everything but this present moment. Which is the only place we ever are, even though the mind has other ideas. So I want to start with a quote by Jeannie Zandi. She is a spiritual teacher, fully awakened, but she was a therapist as well. And I have a lot to thank her for, because she was the first spiritual master that I sat with that mentioned that if you have trauma, do some trauma work in a different way, not just throw spiritual wisdom at it, because that doesn't get to the trauma. And I call this Earth Trauma Planet. I think everyone here is traumatized to a certain degree. And we all carry these deep pains and hurts inside of us. And they often run our lives when they are undealt with, unacknowledged, unmet. We run from that place of stress, and we can't be in the present moment. We can't forgive. It's not possible to really connect with our true divine nature. So it's really good to address this. So in the past few years, I did address the trauma in a different way with several modalities. And you know, there is something called the 10,000 hour rule, where you just keep going. You don't give up ever. You just keep doing the work. And I used to feel quite hopeless. I felt like, what am I doing on Earth? You know, I'm suffering here. And so are so many other beings are suffering. What is this place? And I struggled within myself. But then when I started to deal with the trauma, I grew up in Germany with parents that went through World War II, and they basically were very, very damaged. And they raised us that way too. They passed that on. So it's a healing of the lineage of the false ideas that life is a danger. Life is attacking me in the next moment. When is the next bomb going to drop? But I never even knew that term PTSD, but I had it from birth. So once that was dealt with enough, and it was sufficiently, these layers, the nervous system was addressed, the nervous system could heal and function, not be so jumpy, then all the spiritual gifts that I had thrown at it for decades came online. And my higher self, I jokingly say my higher self moved in. And it's been running the show. And this shift really happened in March. And with that came all this new music, this earth healing music, and this project is so much bigger than I could imagine. So I wanted to just start with this quote by Jeannie. We are asked over and over to offer our empty hands, to let the things we are gripping drop, to give up everything that does not exist in this vibrating moment. Hand over all that has happened, all that might happen, every sweet dream we cling to, yes, even our dreams. This is God's loving strip search. Give it all over. Something else wants to live you. And that has been my experience. Something else is living me. And I am so relieved. This little self doesn't have to run the show. It doesn't have to worry. I can just be my silly little self, my childlike self. I'm having a ball. I am, for the first time in this life, I mean, I had periods of joy and, you know, freedom, but they wouldn't last. Now it's abiding, because even on a bad day, when I'm not feeling so great, the awareness of the presence that is the truth of me doesn't go away anymore. Mm-hmm. So the awareness is abiding. So the awareness is the key. But it couldn't really fully be there. I couldn't be fully present with it until I had dealt with the trauma sufficiently. And just, it's a matter of time, you know, the fruit ripens and then it falls off the tree in the time of grace when it's meant to. So we all have our journey of ripening, and we will fall off the tree and be a blessing to the earth. We will nurture the earth with that fruit. And when it's no longer needed, we will move on to the next adventure. And so my talk today was entitled From Magical Thinking to Conscious Living. So I jumped ahead of myself and gave you a little bit of the end result. It's not an end result, it's just a beginning. It's just a part of the journey, really. It never ends. But magical thinking was when I was expecting life to be always one way, for example. I wanted it to always be happy and joyful and go my way, and, you know, that's what I wanted. But life isn't that way. So that's magical thinking. It's unrealistic. Life here is, the wholeness has split itself in all these different opposites. And so we will invariably experience the opposites. We will go back and forth from hot to cold and dark to light and anger and joy and forgiveness and rage, whatever it is. It's all the flavors because it has split itself. And the journey is when we can embrace everything that arises within us without taking it out on anybody else, without taking it out on our loved ones or our neighbors or the other drivers or Earth or any animals or anyone, that is when we can become aware and present with what is within us. And I played the 11-minute piece, meditation piece that is on this Loving Gaia CD this morning, and I always watch how it has an effect on the environment, on the people. These Sanskrit mantras, they have such a healing effect because the Sanskrit is an ancient language that was perceived by the mystics in a transcendent state of consciousness, and they brought in these very powerful sounds and syllables, and it's a spiritual energy made audible. And so when we sing these sounds and these prayers, which I learned from some of the Indian saints and sages, it affects the energy field in the room, in the world, in each other. It's amazing. So this piece, deep peace I call it, it has these Sanskrit prayers, and the meaning is remove from us all hostility. You know, remove it from within us, because what shows up outside in the world is really what is within us. And unless we own it and acknowledge that this is within us, you know, we're still, part of us is that animal creature that is trying to survive and fight for its, you know, for its supremacy. And so we need to own all parts of us, all aspects of us. We can't skip over anything. And it's sometimes brutal work. I'm not going to kid you. It's very difficult work at times, because facing that can, in worst circumstances, lead to a kind of self-hatred. And what helped me through facing what was inside, what is inside, I just realized eventually that this is not me. It's a program. I was programmed, and I'm running the programs. And unless I change my thoughts, and I change my feelings, and I change my actions and my words, nothing new will be created. I will keep running the program. And so I did everything I could to change the program, because I didn't want to live by the limitation of the program, of the conditioned way that I was raised and that my parents lived by, bless them, because they didn't have the tools I have, but I do. And so I felt it was up to me, it was my job to do this transformational work and to show up fully. Because, you know, the thing is, we are all worthy. Every single one of us is equally worthy. It's not about worth. It is just about raising our frequency to match the divine. What are we matching in our frequency? So the words, the thoughts, the actions, where, how do we entertain ourselves? What do we put into the mind? What do we put into the body? It's all a choice of frequency, of vibration. So where do we vibrate as? That is the moment-to-moment decision that we can have. We can't change the program, but we can say, oh, I see you, and let me meet you with compassion. So all these broken children inside of us, all these hurt children inside of us, what would you do with a child in pain? You would put them on your lap and hold them and hug them. You wouldn't medicate them with alcohol or work or whatever we do, or overeating, whatever we do to medicate the pain. We need to meet it fully, like a child. Sit with it. And I used to be frustrated with this teaching because I just couldn't do it. There wasn't a healthy parent inside of me to meet the hurt children inside of me. The hurt children would take me over and take me into a bottomless pit of pain. That's what I used to call it, where there was just no light. I couldn't connect to God. I couldn't connect to that, which is true. It was just pain. The pain body got it the better of me, you know, basically. And so I used to have trouble with doing this, but basically the technique is very simple. You just give up, you become helpless, and you breathe deeply into the pain, and you welcome it consciously. So whatever pain is in your life, maybe something really deep and ancient that you think you can't overcome it, or maybe it's something new, maybe that happened yesterday, someone really hurt you and brought up an old wound. Whatever it is, let's take a few minutes and just breathe with it. Breathe into that pain. Feel where is it in the body. And let go of the story around it. Like they should be different or the circumstances should be different. Completely let go of any narrative and just be with the pure sensation of the pain. Just be present with it. Maybe for the first time in your life. And if you want to, you can touch that part in your body where you feel it, where you feel that sensation in the physical. I believe these emotional, psychological, and spiritual pains create physical illness because mind body are not separate. So breathe with it. Let's breathe into it. And let's say, honey, I tried to avoid you my whole life, but let me hold you. Let me love you. Maybe I can't love you yet, but I want to learn to love you. Let's be completely honest. If you can't love that part, it's all right. It's all right. Just be with it. Just feel it. Let it rage inside of you. Meet it with the presence that you are. Breathing. Breathe with it. Breathe with it. And when you meet every pain that arises, you don't have to dig it up, but life has a way to bring it up, doesn't it? So when you meet every pain that arises in every moment, just like this, like we just did in this presence, it will eventually integrate. It will not act out like a little gangster from behind. The inner child turns a little gangster if we keep ignoring it. So when you can meet that pain, you become present to yourself. You become present to others. You become present with life. And that's what my practice is. I practice this all the time. It's not that I'm pain-free. Pain arises as long as we're here. And it's just set up that way. But I'm present with it, and I just hold it. And I can cry, and it's no problem. I was telling Jeannie, she always refers to her awakening as, I lost my head. I said, Jeannie, I haven't lost my head yet, but it is not a problem anymore. My head is not a problem. Whatever this thing does, the thoughts really are not mine. I understand that now. And what is another part of magical thinking? Well, God will do it for me. The guru will do it for me. Christ died on the cross for me. You know, all my sins are forgiven. Everything is done. No, it isn't. The formula is intention to be so clear in what you want. So clear. Effort, that's our part. We have to show up 100%. That might only be a very small part in the big equation, but for us, it's 100%. Showing up, being passionate for your own unfolding, your own rediscovery of who you are, your own truth, being passionate, like that has to be your first love. You know, and what is the other magical thinking? I used to have that. I was looking for Mr. Right. You know, surely if I find the right man, the right partner, everything will be fine. I will live happily ever after, right? No, well, it didn't happen that way. It was actually my way to ripen with through a lot of pain and a lot of loss and a lot of abandonment, which was really, I had abandoned myself. And that happened in a very early age when a child is very empathic and there's too much pain around that child and their developmental needs are not met. They become quite, they take it all upon themselves and they think it's all their fault. Everything is was my fault. And so I had to really learn to become very present and discover who I really was. And I was passionate. I was passionate, all right. And I threw everything at it that showed up in my life. And my life became an unfolding journey. And sometimes it was dark. You know, when you're digging in a tunnel, you don't know how close you are to breaking through. Even if you're 2 inches from breaking through, it's still just as dark, right? So keep going. You know, you are in good hands. And I know that whatever our life path, our life story is, it's a custom curriculum to help us. And Matt Kahn, one of my friends, he says, everything is here to help us, no exception. And it's so difficult when life has these throws these curveballs to see that or to understand that. But I understand it in a deeper way now. So I, when something goes wrong, I go, oops, let's see what that is helping me with. And it always turns into a blessing. Even if it's, I have many stories, but I don't have so much time this morning to share with you. But many stories of where initially what my mind used to think, oh, this is a disaster. And when I soften with it just changes into a blessing so quickly. It's like astounding. So there's miracle after miracle after miracle. And being here with you is a miracle. You know, I came here this morning and like there are no strangers here. We were horsing around, having a good old time setting up the hall and just totally enjoy being connected. And it was contagious. And it's just a beautiful community. I could already feel you when I got the first email. I could feel and sense this community, very spirited, very present, very beautiful. So keep up the good work. And for me, I believe awakening is just a start. You know, it doesn't end, the journey doesn't end, but it becomes a whole lot more fun when we are present and finally say yes to it. So I finally embraced life. I said yes to life. And it is a just like a miracle. It's a miracle unfolding every day. And there is hardly any fear. I mean, once in a while, fear of fires crop up and stuff like that. But there is hardly any fear now in my being. I can relax. And when that happens, that shift, you automatically become reverent with everything. Because where should I bow when everything is that? I could bow to this podium, to this chair, to your feet, and it's all that. It's all that source. It's all that beloved. So I live alone, and I used to have such a longing for that partner, but it just is no longer there. I feel more fulfilled than I ever have when I was in a relationship. It's the divine beloved. So sometimes I am very playful, and I make it visible. So I have dinner. I cook a nice dinner, and I make a plate for my beloved, and we just have a conversation, and we have a little glass of wine. We toast together. I mean, it is so much fun, and it is. I'm just making the love real. You know, it's like being childlike and playing and making the love real, making it visible. Of course, the beloved is everywhere in everything, but when you make it visible with this offering and having this beautiful relationship, it's so alive and it's so fulfilling. And you can come to that divine beloved with everything, even your deepest, darkest secrets. So think about something that you really wouldn't want anyone to know, or that you would be embarrassed if it was broadcast over TV, you know. Whatever that is, your deepest, darkest secret, your deepest self-conflict, whatever that is, you can bring that to your divine beloved. And, you know, be aware of guilt and shame. That actually keeps us from really connecting and really getting that healing, beautiful communion that can shift it and help to integrate it. Because as long as we push it away from us and push it in the closet and ignore it, it is active there. It's that that prayer that I was putting on, remove from us all hostility and remove from all worlds, all layers of existence, that hostility. So, you know, what is interesting, I have these notes always. I make myself some notes, but I never look at them. It's like when I start speaking, it's like the music. It's a channeling. It just comes through me. I feel like I'm a divine instrument being played. And so there is this natural reverence and joy and thankfulness for that, because I couldn't do that. This little self can't do really not much of anything. It just knows how to be fearful. And that's okay, sweet little thing. It's all right. You know, we forgive that too. But I am so much more than that sweet little limited being. So much more. I am not limited, really. And I'm beginning to realize that. And that, to me, is what I always wanted. It's the only thing I wanted. Freedom! Yes, freedom! And I want it for everyone, not just myself. So now I'm coming out of the closet again, because creating the music, it's a full-time job. I was pretty much in seclusion. I put everything else, tuned everything else out, and I was just working on that music and doing the best job that I could. And I'm proud of this work. And I used to feel insecure. I used to feel it wasn't good enough. I had a block for a few years of where I couldn't produce any new music, because I was this thought, oh, it's just not good enough, why bother? You know, comparing myself to other people that are highly successful in the world. But what happened with this shift in consciousness, I lost the self-doubt and I lost those voices. They hold no more sting, they hold no more truth. You know, it's good enough. It's divine. It's divine work, and it's doing its job, and it's way beyond my own understanding. So this music, I know it is healing. It is what is healing. Like Betty said, you know, nothing needs to be healed, only discovered what is really there. But the mind, in its limited thinking and its false understanding, that's what needs healing. The mind needs to be healed of its false ideas. But these mantras, these prayers, and there's a couple of English songs, they have that quality. I've become clear that my music is not about entertainment. It's about bringing in those divine frequencies into Earth. And that was my purpose, why I came. And it happened, I know I'm out of time, but I want to tell you one quick story. I was not a musician. We didn't have money in my family to have musical training. But I taught myself a little folk guitar, and I sang some folk songs with my sister when I grew up. And that was pretty much it. But then when I moved to California from Germany, first to Alaska, then from Alaska to California. That's another book, but some other time. I actually sat in a spiritual community that I was living for a while in a garden. And I had many talents, but I knew there was a specific purpose and I couldn't put my finger on it. I was already in my 30s and it drove me crazy that I couldn't figure out what is my purpose in this world. And I prayed with all my being. I said, what should I do with my life? And I heard a voice. I never heard voices before. It was like this cosmic voice coming from everywhere and nowhere. And it was saying, healing through music. And I'm like, I'm like speechless. I'm like, first of all, I hear a voice. It's like a cosmic voice. What is that? I thought I'd lost my mind. And then I just knew it was such an authority. When that voice comes, it's like you don't doubt it. You just know it's the pure voice of truth. And so 2 weeks later, I signed myself up in Sacramento Music School College and studied until my savings ran out. And I thought it meant music therapy. But actually, it's only now that I fully understand what that meant, healing through music. It's to bring in these frequencies that really transform. Frequencies transform. Everything is frequency and vibration. And if you come to the workshop, I'll talk more about that and I'll show you an example on my instrument. So for now, I will stop talking. I really want my talking to, and everything I present, to be a transmission, not just words. I want it to be a transmission and an experience for those who are present, for all of us. And I trust that now. I just lost the doubts. So it's just happening. And I don't even need to invoke it anymore. I just know it is so. I know it with every fiber of my being. So I am extremely grateful. And I'm going to end with another little quote from the Bhagavad Gita. You might know it. It's an ancient Sanskrit text from Krishna as a divine incarnation. I alone am real, says God. Looking out, amused, from deep within the eyes of every creature, I am the object of all knowledge, father and mother of the world, the source of all things. I am the goal, the root, the witness, home and refuge. Dearest friend, creation and annihilation, everlasting seed and treasure. I am the radiance of the sun. I open or withhold the rain clouds. I am immortality and death. I am being and non-being. I am the self, seated in the heart of every creature. I am the origin, the middle and the end that all must come to. I am always with all beings. I abandon no one. And however great your inner darkness, you are never separate from me. Let your thoughts flow past you, calmly. Keep me near at every moment. Trust me with your life, because I am you more than you yourself are. Namaste. Blessings to everyone here in the really, really deep, deepest, most powerful way. And if you're passionate about freedom, I can share some stuff with you. Thank you.